Thank you, ladies. Good morning. It is good to be with you on this Labor Day weekend, and I'm thrilled to be able to preach today. Thankful to be able to do that, as James mentioned, as Brother Hans is out with family today, and even as he's traveled to the seminary. It's great to be able to be with you. This has been and is the year of faithfulness for us here at Quail Springs. And so we have walked through being faithful in attendance, faithful in serving, and now faithful in sharing. And so through this year, I had the opportunity, particularly on Wednesday nights, to be able to preach through a chapter of faith, the year of faithfulness. One of the best chapters of faith is Hebrews chapter 11. And so this morning, I'm going to wrap up that series of Hebrews 11, and actually we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 to be able to finish this look at those who are faithful. It could be today that there are those of you in this place who are tired, who are weary. And it's not physically, but emotionally and spiritually worn down in this journey of faith in following Christ. And so we gather together today to find encouragement, to find peace together, and the energy to be able to press on to what God has called us to together. It could be that you faced personally that scoffing at a life lived in faith in Christ. That there's discouragement that you faced in your own journey of losing steam, of feeling like the gas is running out in your faith. So today we have the opportunity to look to Scripture to be encouraged to press on to endure. Because I want to encourage you today that you're not alone if you feel that way. There are others who face that. Even today, there are those who face peril in their own life, with their own possessions, imprisonment, even losing their own life because of the faith. So we're not alone in this life to be faithful, to endure, to persevere. When we look at this passage, Hebrews 11, it's bookended. And it's bookended, if you will, in chapter 10, by the context of what these early believers, so these Hebrews, they were of the Jewish faith who have come to a faith in Jesus Christ. And so they face peril of their own to follow this new way. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, those final verses of that chapter, it sets us up to be able to see what they face. In Hebrews 10:32, it says, "But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." Listen, these early believers faced all kinds of pressures. They face pressure to go back to the old way. So they're establishing a new faith of worshiping Jesus Christ in every way in their life. And there's that siren song, if you will, to go back to the old ways. Why would we do something new? We need to go back to these old patterns. And really, the book of Hebrews itself is established on saying, listen, Jesus is better than the priesthood. He's better than Moses. He's better than anything that you experienced before. So don't turn back. But these early believers also faced pressure from the culture. Listen, there was wickedness within the culture, just like ours, right? But then also there was pressure for these early believers to give out, to give in, just by their own flesh, just their own sinfulness to give in. So the writer is saying, listen, you need to press on. Again, we face the same type of pressures, and we're encouraged today to endure, to persevere. It could be that there's someone in this room today, and part of that perseverance and endurance is for you to trust Jesus Christ today with everything, to make him the Lord and master of your life, trusting him that you believe that he does and did bear your sin on the cross in his body. and that by His wounds you're healed. Maybe you've never trusted Him in that way. You've never confessed Him as Lord and Savior of your life. You can do that today to be able to endure, to be faithful. But it could be that in this room, with many believers at 8:15, that there are those of you who are discouraged in a big way today, even in your faith, just in life, that you're discouraged. And today, we have the opportunity to be encouraged to boldly live a life of love in the gospel with those around us. So don't be discouraged today. We get to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is being faithful. And as we're being faithful, we get to consider some things, which takes us to our passage today. First of all, we get to consider those who have gone before us. So now let's turn the page to Hebrews 12 and look at the first part of verse 1. Hebrews 12, first part of verse 1. Here's what it says. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now remember, I mentioned just a moment ago that I've preached through this chapter of faith, chapter 11. And so what the writer has done is that he has looked back to, so that word therefore is saying, therefore, since we just looked at this full chapter, since we looked at all these heroes of the faith, we can do the same thing. And who are these witnesses? Listen to the definition of this word witness is martis, which sounds like martyr, right? It's the very Greek word for witness, which is this, a person who makes a solemn statement concerning their religious beliefs that results in their death. He's saying, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, these who have passed before us in the faith, we get to look to them for encouragement and for perseverance. He says that they're a cloud. Now, it's not necessarily that they're watching us, but there are those of the faith that we look to in Scripture to be able to say, look, these people made it in this life. They endured. They persevered. We can look to them in faith. As we look at this chapter 11, listen, there are people within this chapter that have lived by faith that really, it wasn't that perilous. Now listen, there were things that they did that were huge by faith, even as they mentioned their names, like Noah, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, living by faith. But there are those like Enoch who lived by faith and he was just taken up to the Lord. Listen, that sounds awesome to me, right? That just seems great. He was in the Lord's presence. But can I tell you this? We look to those people of faith. They persevered. They lived out strongly their faith for the Lord. Did whatever they asked Him to do, whatever the Lord asked Him to do, they did. But listen, within this chapter, we also see those who sacrificed it all. Do you realize that the first person that's mentioned for us to look to that lived by faith in this faith chapter of chapter 11 was murdered? It's Abel. He was living out his life by faith, bringing a wholesome and right sacrifice of the best that he had to the Lord, and his life was taken. Listen, he gave it all for the Lord. He was living by faith, but there's certainly peril there. What we see, especially in Hebrews 11:35, is this. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering around in deserts and mountains, in caves and in holes in the ground. Now, did I say that this was a message to encourage you today? Listen, these people by faith made it. They lived through horrific things that I just listed. In faith, they live their life in faith, even facing those things. And they're in the Lord's presence today. This isn't it. And so we can find encouragement that whatever we face today, listen, it doesn't matter. Whatever comes before us today, we can have faith that we will make it and finish strong with Him for whatever comes before us. Amen? We can have strong faith in that. So when you feel the pressure today to give in, that you're going to give out, you're going to run out of gas, to give in to sin, to give up, to throw up your hands, or you face that pressure, maybe not to give up, but to shut up. Why don't you just be quiet about your faith? Remember that there are those who have gone before us, a great cloud of witnesses who have faced things that we can't even describe today, but did it with faith and are victors in the Lord. We can, you can persevere. You can do this. We can endure in faith, boldly loving God along the way. Now, while we do that, and as I consider this great cloud of witnesses, we have the opportunity ourselves here to do something a little bit different in light of that cloud. Have you guys heard the names of Dawson Trotman, Bill Bright, Billy Graham? I mean, these are men who have impacted the globe with the gospel. Billy Graham, that goes without saying. Dawson Trotman, the originator of the Navigators. Bill Bright, with Campus Crusade for Christ, wrote the Four Spiritual Laws. 2.5 billion copies of that and 200 different languages around the world. I mean, just unbelievable impact. Billy Graham, it goes without saying. You realize that these men have a common denominator? There was a person in their lives, so in their journey of life, there was a common discipler of these men in particular, among others. Her name was Dr. Henrietta Mears, and she was a small group leader, a disciple leader, a Sunday school teacher. She impacted all these men. As a matter of fact, Billy Graham says this of Dr. Mears, and this comes from Dr. Waylon Moore. I doubt if any other woman outside of my wife and mother has had such a marked influence on my life. She is certainly one of the greatest Christians I have ever known. Dr. Bill Bright says this of Henrietta Mears, and this comes from Judy Douglas' work. Again, he's the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. He says this, one evening, Dr. Mears was speaking to the college group about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. By this time, I'd become convinced that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and Savior of men. Dr. Mears quoted Paul's words, Lord, what do you want me to do? She challenged us to go home, to get on our knees there and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I did exactly that, and I traced my conversion experience to that evening. Alone on my knees in my home, I prayed a prayer similar to the Apostle Paul's, and I chose to dedicate the rest of my life to serving God. Here's questions for you today. One, who are you looking to? Who's in your great cloud of witnesses? Not just the biblical record, but perhaps even closer. Who are the people that you look to? But let me ask you another question. Who has you in their cloud? Who's looking to you that they would say, let me tell you about somebody who's had a great influence in my life, and your name shows up. We have the opportunity to be able to do that very thing. We want to endure. We want to persevere. We want to bring people along with us in the midst of that. But it could be that even now you're feeling that weight of, man, now I really can't do it. How do I even get started in being able to persevere and have this kind of faithfulness and endurance? It could be that you feel weight even now about things that are holding you back. Well, that's appropriate, because as we continue on in verse 1, here's what it says. As we consider not only the witnesses who have gone before us, but we consider our own condition. Here's what it says in verse 1, continuing on. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we just finished up the Olympics, right? And it was fun to watch. I had a good time watching the Olympics with the kids, so we tried to catch some of that, and I watched quite a bit. Early on in the Olympics, I caught one of the very first races. It was a women's bike race, kind of a road course race. They're riding those bikes that are just so fast. And it was over the mountain, so they would go up the mountain and then come back down and finish along the beach, is where the finish line was on the paved road there. And so they are absolutely flying. I mean, it's really magnificent to watch with all the athletes, you know, everything connected with the Olympics is just so fascinating. But they're absolutely flying. Well, it starts to sprinkle in that race. I don't know if some of you saw this, but as they're coming down the mountainside, absolutely moving far faster than they should be, I think. But they're coming down and it's slick, and so one of the drivers really locks it up and begins to skid and just wipes out on the side. And we're watching it live. And it was the kind of thing where as we're watching, it's like, hey, kids, look away. Because this is, I mean, you could just see from the wreck that it was not good. And sure enough, she's okay now. while she's healing with broken vertebrae in her back and also a concussion. But it was a horrific wreck that one of the riders had. Well, the race continues on. So one rider is out. They continue on. As they're nearing the finish, there's another racer from the United States who had led and just dominated in the race, especially in going up the mountain, which was just grueling. So leading through the race, coming to the finish, actually can see the finish line as they're coming in the distance, and she's got a great lead on another group. But there's a group of three that all get together. They're kind of in a draft together, free NASCAR fans. So they're in the draft together, and they're coming up, and they literally overtake her, and she doesn't even medal. Now listen, I'm not casting any doubt towards her. She's an Olympian. But in the end, she didn't capture that medal. Listen, today, we want to endure in such a way that we're not wiped out, but also that we're able to attain as much as we can for Christ. So this verse again, we're laying aside every encumbrance in the sin which so easily entangles us. We don't want to run out of gas. We don't want to flame out at the end. We don't want to crash and be taken off to the side. We want to lay aside things. What are we laying aside? Laying aside every encumbrance. Listen, there could be good stuff in your life today, really good stuff, that you need to assess and take account of and lay aside. A few years ago, I learned the value in traveling internationally on mission journeys is to pack everything in one backpack. So on one trip, yes, that's right, 10-day trip, one backpack. Listen, I may have stunk at the end of the trip, but as far as flexibility and being able to move, be where we need to be, do what we need to do, there was no encumbrance. And there's some really good stuff that I probably should have had on that trip, but I left that behind. So that there was no weight weighing me down. There could be good things in your life today that you need to lay aside. But it could be today, as it says in this passage, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Listen, there are things in your life and in my life today that we can't gloss over, we can't dress up, we can't rename, we can't excuse. Things that will take us out of the race for glory for Christ, doing all we can for Him. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I went on vacation. So we went up to the mountains in Red River, New Mexico. We love it up there. It was a great break, refreshing. Love the mountain air. So we're coming back into the heat of Oklahoma after that trip. It'd be like in the upper 40s in the morning out there. So we're coming back in the heat, driving back in at night. It's hot at night here, but we're rolling into our neighborhood and rolling down the windows because it had been a long trip. So we're getting to the house, drive up to the garage, raise the garage door, windows are down, we're getting out. And immediately we were like, what is that smell? It was I can't even describe the smell to you. It's not a sewer smell, worse. It was overwhelming. We were getting back on a Friday night. It was the previous week before that you had a lightning storm here, and apparently our power flashed. When that happened, our freezer decided to go to sleep. So for a week, we had a crock pot in our garage, if you will, in terms of a freezer that had just been roasting and oozed out on the floor. So it was pork loin and chicken and sausage and, you know, cans of frozen concentrate, orange juice. It was repulsive. It was horrible. So as you can imagine, we're back from vacation and all of a sudden I'm like, need another vacation. It was terrible. And so we just went to bed because there was nothing to do. You know, it was just like, we've got to deal with that tomorrow. I mean, there's just no way. Because that was good, and it was a big task. Got up the next day, start, you know, just pull around a dumpster, roll that out of the garage, and just start emptying junk, dead, rotten stuff out of there. I stunk, the car stunk, the garage stunk, we're probably going nose blind to it, the house probably still stinks. It was terrible. Listen, sin is death, it's rottenness. It has to be discarded. So we can't just gloss that over. and act like things are okay. It has to be cast aside by the grace of the Lord. Back in the 90s, there was a Christian musician, Stephen Curtis Chapman, who I love, and he had a song that makes me think of casting off sin. And the title of this song was Burn the Ships. And the words went like this: in the spring of new beginnings, a searching heart set sail, looking for a new life and a love that would not fail. On the shores of grace and mercy we landed with great joy, but an enemy was waiting to kill, steal, and destroy. And quietly he whispers, go back to the life you know. But the one who led us here to this new land is saying, burn the ships. We're here to stay. There's no way we could go back now that we've come this far by faith. Burn the ships. We've passed the point of no return. Our life is here, so let the ships burn and burn. We want to finish strong like Paul. 2 Timothy 4:7. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Listen, I want to encourage you today. The Bible tells us that we all struggle with sin. And so today, maybe it is that you cast aside sin, because Jesus is filled with grace and mercy that can cover every sin and take care of every encumbrance in our life. So you may need to do that today, because you can get up and win the race. In the Olympics, there was a runner from Great Britain, Mo Farah. He was running the 10,000 meter race in the 2016 Olympics. 10,000 meters. I wasn't in that event. And multiple laps, and it's the kind of deal where after they get started, you know, they all kind of bunch together and just run in one big clump. Well, it's within that big clump of runners that early in that race, of multiple laps in that race, that he tripped and he fell. Like, whoop, down. I mean, completely fell. Mo Farah got up, ran to catch the pack, to catch the lead pack, to run neck and neck with the person ahead of him at the end of the race, to win gold. So you're not defeated today. Even in the midst of sin and encumbrances, get up. Get up and run the race with endurance and perseverance for the Lord. Because there's one more thing that we want to consider this morning. We're considering the witnesses who have gone before us, and that's powerful and strong in our perseverance and endurance. We're considering our own condition today, casting aside encumbrances and sin, just throwing that stuff off. But most importantly today, we consider Christ, Jesus, the Lord, our Savior. When we read in verses 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word here at the beginning is fixing our eyes. Aphoreo means to look away from all else at. So I want to focus on Jesus, fixing my eyes on Jesus. I've got this opportunity to consider this cloud of witnesses that have gone before me, even personally who have gone before me, consider my own condition. But ultimately, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, the farmer's trick or mowing trick about mowing in straight lines or rows in straight lines. It's not about walking right in front of yourself and considering where you're going. It's about looking at an object in the distance and walking straight towards that for a straight line. To make your row straight in that direction, that's what we want to do with the Lord. Joshua was encouraged in this way. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. We want to endure, as it says in this passage, hupomeno, which means to endure with patience or to wait. As we consider Christ who endured the cross, it means that he waited. Do you realize that Jesus, the person that we look to, that we fix our eyes on, ultimately was able to wait. Consider the temptations. Jesus could have done anything he wanted at any point. He could have changed it all. But he obeyed the Father in waiting and enduring the cross for you and for me. He waited. Growing weary, as you see these words here. To be fatigued of soul. To lose your breath. Faint-hearted. To lose heart. As we look to Jesus, we can endure and not grow weary, to not lose heart. Galatians 6:9 that I read earlier, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to be encouraged in the journey today, to persevere, to endure, to not give up, to not grow weary, to not lose heart, to not lose your breath, to not run out of gas. Could it be that there's someone that you personally need to encourage today in the journey of faith? That today you understand that you could be in someone else's cloud. You could be that encourager for someone else, like Dr. Henrietta Mears, who encourages, inspires others to stay strong in the faith. You can do this. We need to do this. It could be today that you realize personally as a believer that you need to rekindle your faith in Christ. I love in that testimony from Bill Bright as he was submitting his life to the Lord Jesus that he asked that simple question of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? So for you today, believer, could you ask that same question? Lord, just simply, what do you want me to do? I want to do that. I want to lay aside encumbrances and lay aside sin. Lord, what do you want from me? I follow you. You're my master. But it could be today that there's someone in this room that you realize that you're ready to give up on doing life on your own. That you're ready for purpose and meaning and peace and forgiveness of the burden of sin and brokenness that you face in your own life. It could be that you come today to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I want to encourage you to do that. In just a moment, we're going to stand together. And it could be that you pray right where you are. That you consider what we've looked at today and considering the witnesses, considering yourself, considering Christ. And that you do business with the Lord right there. It could be today that you come to this altar and you kneel and you pray and refocus on the Lord and what He has for your life. It could be today that if you need Jesus as your personal Savior, that you come and speak with the minister, pray with them, and invite Christ to be the Lord of your life, inviting Him into your heart to save you today. I want to encourage you to do that. Let me pray for us as we enter into a time of decision. Lord, we thank you so much today for the truth of your word, the opportunity to be able to look into it and find encouragement and strength for endurance, to be able to make it in this life, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you today for those witnesses who have gone before us, a great cloud of witnesses of our biblical faith, those who have passed before, Lord, who are faithful to you in every way, whether they experience what we would consider victory in this life or whether they lost their lives in this life, Lord. We're grateful for them and their perseverance and their willingness to follow you and to give it all for you, Lord. And I pray that we would find strength in their testimony. Lord, I also pray that in this room today that you would give us the boldness and the faith to be able to consider ourselves, to consider the things that are weighing us down from the race for you, Lord, that we can't give it our all, that we're distracted. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to lay aside every encumbrance and every sin that we have that entangles us, to be able to run freely in every way for you, to be free to obey you, Lord, that there's nothing that weighs us down in that way. And then, Lord, for any person here today who is not certain of their eternity, Lord, with you, in the life to come and the life today, that there's a burning within their heart that says things aren't right. God, I pray that you'd help them to be able to make that right today, that you would call them by your Spirit, that they would make you their Lord and Savior this morning. God, thank you for speaking to us through your word, and I pray that you'd help us to act in our hearts with you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together during this time of decision.